For first 10 years I was sober, I went every Friday night to a detox unit and
Yep.
brought a meeting in. And we used to go to hospitals and jails and institutions in and around the Baltimore area. And that was so important to me, not just for the experience of being there and sharing our experience, strength, and hope with the patients or the inmates, but it was the meeting on the way to the meeting
Yes.
that took place in the car and the meeting on the way back from the meeting. That's where I began to learn how to apply principles of Alcoholics Anonymous in my life. I was 25 years old. I didn't have children. I used to hear people talk about how they were dealing with issues with teenagers. I learned from that. I took those little tidbits of information away. And sure enough, 15 years later, I had teenagers and had to deal with all that. Everything that I've learned in life that's important, I've learned in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous.
I heard it through the grapevine. Welcome. It's the AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour featuring the collective voices of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm Don, an alcoholic in Greensboro, North Carolina.
And I'm Alice, an alcoholic still in transition, but I'm staying in Atlanta, Georgia.
Alice, it's a new month, and you know what that means. You've moved again.
Oh, silly. It means that there's a new issue of AA Grapevine. It's here.
The new Grapevine's here. The new Grapevine's here. Woo-hoo-hoo. And also, the Grapevine is releasing a new book on the 12 steps. It's called Our 12 Steps. And the funny thing is, I was at a assembly recently and talking with my delegate about, why can't there be a workbook for the 12 steps? And AA doesn't have a workbook other than the big book and the 12 and 12. We don't have a workbook for the 12 steps.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of workbooks for Alcoholics Anonymous out there. They're not conference approved, right?
That's right.
They're sort of designed, in my humble opinion, to do different things. There's the workbook that's like, get people through the steps in like a couple of weeks. There's the workbook that is like, hey, this is going to take you 6 months.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I'm really glad that we don't have a conference approved book because the way that I go through them now is not the way that I went through them when I got here 36 years ago. And
Right.
I think if we had an AA workbook, it would really limit what it is that people felt like they could do.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it would prescribe exactly the way to do it. That's what I like about this new book that's released from AA Grapevine. And we've got the senior editor of the Grapevine magazine here.
So excited. Okay, we've got John W. John, what does the editor do?
Hi, Don. Hi, Alice. Good to see you guys. I love the podcast. I listen to it every Monday. So what do I do? We do so much at the Grapevine now, and I want to say a lot about our tiny, hardworking staff. It's just a few of us who do all this stuff. We work on four issues at a time. Like we're beginning one, we're setting one off to print, and then there's two in the middle that we're editing and moving things around. We have a great art director, Bay. He's a wizard. He's what makes it look so beautiful, and the books as well.
I love the covers and the artwork for every story in the magazine.
Thank you, Don. It's a joy to put together. And I just want to say to listeners, you don't have to be a great writer. That's where we come in. We can tidy them up. That's what I do all day. And if we don't use them right away, we might use them up the road, like a year or two later. And you can send in as many as you want.
Tell us about the book, Our 12 Steps.
Oh, yeah. It was time to do a new step book. We've had many current wonderful stories in the last 10 to 15 years that have been published in Grapevine because we do a step story every month. And so we just gather them all together and put them in the book. It's really a lovely book. It's kind of thicker than some of our others. What I love about the Grapevine is that the steps are done in different ways. Like there's many ways to do the four step, many ways to do the higher power steps for sure.
Yeah.
And the Grapevine shows you all different types of experiences. So if you come up to a step and you're working on like step four or five or whatever, you can go into the Grapevine book and look in that chapter because each chapter is a different step. And you can just read all different kinds of ways that members are doing these steps.
You know, John, that is so much information. And now I understand what it means to be a senior editor. When you say that you can go to that chapter, Does that mean that for each step, there are multiple stories that you've pulled out of the Grapevine publications in the past?
Yes, like chapter four would be step four. It's all full of step four stories.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Experience.
It reflects how different members have worked step four in different ways.
Yes.
Like going to a meeting and saying, I'm starting to work on step four, or I don't know how to do this. And then you will get the whole room telling different stories of how they did. Fantastic.
I just love that no matter what we publish as AA Grapevine, we really are a meeting in print.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And this book is great for AA meetings. You know, you can read the stories in step meetings or working with your sponsees or to give it to a sponsee who's doing the steps now.
You know, that's why I don't think, Don, we need a guide. I don't think we need a workbook.
Yeah.
You know, like what we say when we open the podcast, we need the collective voices of Alcoholics Anonymous, that the best experience about how to do it comes from people who have done it.
Yeah.
To see this beautiful new book, Our 12 Steps, just visit aagrapevine.org/books.
So the book is the members of AA telling how they work the steps individually. And to celebrate the release of the book in the May 2024 issue, the main feature is also members telling about how the steps change their lives. John, these are different stories than are in the book.
Yes, these are all new stories.
We want to highlight a few stories. The first is entitled, And When We're Wrong. Here, a member expresses his love for the steps, especially the steps where we clean up things and we learn to keep our mouth shut. He shares how he now does things, like he saves his email responses overnight and rereads them in the morning to make sure that they're the best response. I love that, and I do that also with text messages.
It's a good daily practice. Don't hit send.
God is in the pause.
Yeah, God is in the pause. The story Leap of Faith is a life and death action adventure story that takes place above 12,000 feet in the Sierra Mountain Range. A frightening race to get down the mountain took every step he had in him. And though he was hiking solo, it turns out he wasn't alone. You've got to read Leap of Faith, soon to be a major motion picture starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Woohoo! What's this shaking of heads?
Not really. It could be, but not yet.
Well, it could be. It's well worth reading.
Well worth reading. So not all the stories are specifically about the steps. In the section, our personal stories, we have a story called A Mother's Day Wish.
Ah.
A mother tries. You know what? I'm not going to say another word. You have to read it for yourself. I expect that there won't be a dry eye among us if you do.
It wasn't for me. Why not? John, did you shed a tear reading that one? Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah, Don. I cry all the time when I'm reading stories. And some of the ones I put in the magazine are the ones I cry about most.
Because they're strong.
And if I laugh and cry in the same story, that's even better.
That's great.
I think that's why we call it language of the heart.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite story?
Oh, man, you can't ask me that.
That's too much.
I have so many favorite stories. But in this issue, there's one besides Todd's, who's here today.
Yeah.
But usually at the end of each issue, I like to put something really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I like to end the book with something lovely. And there's this guy, Alex M., and he's from Kentucky, and he writes the sweetest stuff. And he has one in this issue. It's only one page. It's really short. He's trying to consider what it is that AA has given him. He says these lovely sentences. Our sponsors lead us and our sponsees show us. Newcomers inspire us and old timers forgive us. We're here for each other. We lift each other up. We take this journey together. And yes, sometimes we even carry one another across a deep icy stream. That's what we do.
Wow.
Beautiful. He's a poet.
Folks, all the stories are available to read in the app, but you have to have the print version to see the hand-drawn cartoons. And there's one in almost every issue, and I love these things. Where do these cartoons come from, John?
Oh, those, not the contest in the back, but the ones within the magazine are all by AA members. You know, we welcome that. I mean, you don't have to be a great artist either. Even if it's like, if you just draw stick people and it's funny, we'll run it.
Well, the May issue has a great one. In the Old West, a hard-driving, slightly villainous-looking gunslinger with his rifle slung over his back is ordering a drink in the bar in a saloon. This guy looks rough. He's been rode hard and put up wet. But the bartender, wearing a bowler hat, looks on him passively, and the hombre says, "I'll have a club soda and a splash of cranberry." He's got to be one of us.
Got to be. So a special thanks to the anonymous artist who sent that in. We'll also post that cartoon on our Instagram feed. Go to Instagram and search AA Grapevine to see it.
Alice, who's our guest today?
Today's guest is Todd Kay, and he's in Huntley, Illinois. He wrote the story, New Guy in Town, and it's on page 45 in the May 2024 issue. I have some experience moving. I'm super excited because this experience of reconnecting with AA in a new town gives us a lot to talk about.
You bet. I'm looking forward to meeting Todd. John, can you stay with us?
Yeah, sure can.
Our 12 Steps is a brand new collection of stories from AA members about working the program's 12 Steps of Recovery. Each chapter illuminates a different step through the experiences of a wide variety of AA members. This volume features all new, up-to-date stories from the pages of Grapevine, the International Journal of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is great for sponsees and step meetings, and it's only $13.99 at aagrapevine.org/books.
My name is Todd Kay, and I am an alcoholic, and my home group is the Being New in Sobriety group that meets Tuesday nights in Huntley, Illinois.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Tell us about what was going on inside of you when you came to AA.
Pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization.
I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah. I was 25 years old. My life was a train wreck. I just couldn't get any traction going. I had had all the consequences that alcoholics experience. I had them in a very condensed 7-year period, and I didn't know a way out. And I was just bankrupt in all areas of my life, spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially.
Had you heard of AA before?
I knew of AA, but I knew nothing about it. I came home from work one night with 2 6-packs of beer under my arm. And I proceeded to put them on my table, which was actually an ironing board in my kitchen because my first wife had taken all the furniture. And I called Alcoholics Anonymous. I had not given it any thought in advance. It's just an event that happened. That was the beginning of my recovery. Asking for help was the key to admit me into that road to recovery.
How long after that call did you actually come into contact with a member of Alcoholics Anonymous?
That evening. I called. It was after hours, so I got an answering service, and I said somebody would call me back. And about an hour later, and I was 3 or 4 beers into my evening, Somebody did call me back. And at that point in time, I usually didn't answer the telephone because it was never good news on the other end.
Yeah.
So I answered the telephone. They asked if Todd was there, and I said, no, he isn't. Who's calling? And they replied, well, this is an organization that he contacted a little while ago. And I said, wait a minute. He's coming in the door now. So I put the phone down, picked it up. Wow. I said, this is Todd. How can I help you?
It's kind of nice that, to not lie and not have to go through all this rigmarole. And then
life has gotten simpler in sobriety in many ways.
Yeah.
And they suggested I go to a meeting that evening. You know, by then I really wasn't sure why I had called AA, and I certainly wasn't interested in going to any meeting. So I said, no, I can't, but if you have one next week, I'll go then. And they said, we have one tomorrow night. We'll meet you there.
Oh.
Next night, I came home from work, got good intoxicated, and went off to my first AA meeting.
So you went drunk?
I went drunk for the first month.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to stop drinking. I didn't have that core requirement. of wanting to stop drinking. I wanted to control my drinking.
I love that, Todd. And for anybody who's listening that is still drinking, you don't have to be stopped to show up. If you just hang out with us, the magic happens, doesn't it, Todd?
It did. It did. For that first month, I showed up every night intoxicated. And people would just say, keep coming back. And I did. And finally, after about 30 days, I began to realize that I was lying to everybody in the room. And I was afraid you were going to kick me out, which does not happen, but I was afraid of that. So I did manage to stop drinking on my own for about 2 or 3 weeks. And life very quickly got better. So good that when Memorial Day weekend came around, I thought I'd celebrate with a case of beer. And I was off and running once again. And it was 2 weeks later, after a 2-week blackout, that I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I think I needed that last drunk to convince me that I was both powerless over alcohol and that my life was unmanageable, and the two were connected. Every time I first drank, I had no way to stop. And my life was a disaster. And I had a extreme spiritual experience. I had run out of money. I had run out of booze. I had run out of cigarettes. I had run out of people I could call. I had run out of places that would take yet another bad check from me.
Yeah.
And I got down on my knees and I surrendered. And I said to my higher power, I'm willing to do whatever is necessary for this to end.
Yeah.
And almost immediately, the desire to drink left me. And 6 hours later, I was brought to a detox by a couple members from Alcoholics Anonymous.
And you stayed sober?
I've been sober since then. That was June 10th, 1976.
Wow.
Well, someone who was in the program and has gone back out asks the question, do you think that AA is really what's keeping you sober? Because he doesn't believe it. What's your response to that?
My personal experience is that AA and the AA program, practicing the program of AA, is keeping me sober one day at a time. It may not keep me sober for my entire life, but I'm guaranteed that if I do the right things today, I'll stay sober for the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
You described a spiritual experience. To some people, that just seems like it's imaginary.
Whether it was imaginary, a hallucination, or just a spiritual experience, doesn't matter. What matters is the effect that it had on me.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my life forever.
You know, I love that answer. And that really is an answer of a person who's been here and done the work. It doesn't matter what it was. It worked. And this worrying about, like, well, what exactly was it, and dissecting it, is this a distraction? The great persuader is alcohol. If you just leave people out there drinking long enough, they're going to get whooped by King Alcohol. And if they're lucky, man, you were able to connect to Alcoholics Anonymous before getting sober so that when you had that experience, you had numbers, you had people to call.
That's exactly what happened. I had phone numbers written down on little scraps of paper and matchbook covers, and I called one of them and they came over. I had been going into DTs. They took one look at me and said, you need hospitalization.
Yep.
So they dragged me off to a hospital, and life has never been the same since.
How beautiful.
John, you look like you had something to say.
I just love the moment. We all get this moment, and either we jump or we don't. And it's really mysterious. And once I jumped and I was done, and alcohol completely taught me. It just beat me up so much that I was done, and I came in and I did everything you guys said. And it wasn't until it beat me enough that I wouldn't have done anything you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
right.
When that moment comes, is so mysterious. I don't even question it anymore. That's what I call my higher power, to keep that even simple.
You hit that moment where you're willing to go to any length to get sober. That was the agreement I made with my higher power. You know, I'm willing to do whatever is necessary for this to end, for me to get sober. A couple of years after I came into AA and I got sober, I read a book called Little Big Man. Been turned into a film also. And there was a line in the book that I've always cherished. It said, somehow, when you were supposed to die and didn't, things ain't never the same. And that was my turning point.
Yeah. Everybody has two lives. The second one begins the moment they realize they only have one. That's So I figured, well, Todd, I'm always interested. What did AA ask you to do that you were unwilling to do? And suddenly you became willing to do it and it worked.
It was to get involved and to work the steps. That's what AA asked me to do. They said, you can work the steps, but if you really want to enjoy sobriety, get involved, get a service job, go to institutions, share what you're being given with other alcoholics, and you'll stay sober.
Yep.
My personal inclination would not be to do that. I wanted the do-it-yourself-at-home kit, but that doesn't exist. Yeah. I had to get involved. I had to go to meetings. I had to be present, and I had to be willing to ask for help. Early in my sobriety, I had a beat-up old car that tended to use more oil than it did gasoline, and it would start some days and some days it wouldn't. And I had to ask for rides to meetings, and I was terribly embarrassed to do it. My pride was got in the way. And one day at a meeting, this woman came up to me afterwards and said, do you need a ride today? And I said, yes. And she said, you're not asking for rides. You need to ask for rides. And I said, why? And she said, you're being selfish when you don't ask for rides.
Yes.
Have you ever done something good for somebody? And how did it make you feel? And I said, well, yeah, I have done that. And it makes me feel good when I can help somebody. She said, you're being selfish, not asking for help, because you're denying that other person the awesome feeling of providing the help that you need.
Yeah.
That changed my whole attitude towards asking for help. And I realized how important it is, not just for me to get that assistance, but for the other person to be of service. That's what our 12th step is about also.
When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, they told me that people who did hospital and institution work, H&I, never drank. Now, I don't know if that's true. Mm-hmm. But what it does is it puts you in a position where you learn how to connect. You learn how to be a giver. You learn how to show up for other people. And I mean, you've been here 47 years. Is that right?
Yes.
47 years. That's
woo-hoo! 47 years.
Broken, right? And you've written into the AA Grapevine. And so tell us about how you came to write a story, why you decided to do that.
Came about as a result of the pandemic. I was on a Zoom meeting, I believe it originated out in Washington State, and the topic of the meeting was writing for the Grapevine. It was kind of a workshop meeting, and they talked about the experience of writing for the Grapevine and how to go about it. And at the end of that meeting, I thought, I should share my experience. And my most difficult experience in sobriety has been interstate moves. I had the same home group and the same sponsor and the same set of friends for 17 years when I made my first interstate move. And we moved from Maryland to Vermont, and I was anxious about it. And I got to Vermont and I couldn't find the meetings. This was back when it was all paper meeting lists. But mm-hmm. I finally got to some meetings, and I didn't like the meetings at all.
They were doing it wrong.
They were doing it wrong. They were doing the wrong readings. They closed the meeting with a statement of responsibility rather than a prayer. I didn't like the coffee. The timing of the meeting was different. But I had been told by a friend before I moved, and I wrote this in the article, that she was preparing for a move to Florida, and her sponsor had advised her, when you get to Florida, go to 90 meetings in 90 days and treat yourself like a beginner. Get involved.
Yeah.
And I remembered that. And when I got to Vermont, I said, I'm going to do that. Whether I like the meetings or not, I'm going to do it because my life depends on it. So I did go to 90 and 90. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, started calling people. And a few weeks later, got a service job. I was the coffee maker at the meeting. And before I knew it, I was as deeply involved as I had been back at my home group.
Yeah.
5 years later, I moved to Massachusetts. Same thing all over again. Then I moved to Illinois. Then I moved to Nebraska. Then I moved back to Illinois. Then I moved to New Jersey. Then I moved to Vermont. Then back to New Jersey. And now I'm back in Illinois.
Wow.
I'm a bit of a gypsy, but I think you've got me beat.
Every single time when I get to that new area, it's different. I'm finding the window dressing of AA meetings is different. The core AA program is always the same. But the window dressing, and I get distracted by that.
Yeah.
And if I practice that 90 and 90, treat myself like a newcomer mentality, I fit right in after a while.
I just love that, the humility of surrendering to what is someplace, just because it's been the way that it's been for me wherever my recovery began doesn't mean that's what it's going to be like someplace else. And the way they're doing it's working for them, right? So my job is to join in.
I think that when you go to different meetings in different areas, the things that are different are the things that don't matter. It's the things that irritate me about it, but this is a good practice for me to learn that the things I'm irritated at don't matter because they're staying sober. So it's exactly like when I was a newcomer, a lot of the stuff in AA wasn't right to me. I didn't. Making amends that doesn't seem right in some cases, but my sponsor had a different idea. And you know what? It was being able to look to see where other people are right and to let go of me saying that they're wrong and kind of follow along that made all the difference for me. So when I go out of town, if I'm irritated by the way the thing's going, I'm going, oh, well, that's one of the things that don't really matter.
I love our fourth tradition that every AA group shall be autonomous. That creates texture to AA. Every group has its own little nuances and traditions of how they conduct themselves.
Yep.
And I enjoy going to a variety of meetings just to experience that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've also found when I go to meetings somewhere else, everybody in that room is brilliant. They all say so many wonderful, creative things that I've never heard before. And I wonder why everybody there is so smart and experienced in this program. It's that I haven't heard them 15 times in the last 2 weeks say the same story. But I enjoy that variety.
Yeah.
Hearing new stories.
And slowly the luster dims. And it just becomes regular drunks sharing the same thing every meeting.
You know, I was at a meeting earlier today. A guy got up and said, it was a hybrid meeting. And the guy that was in person got up and said that he was 17 years sober and hadn't been to a meeting in years and talked about how the people around him said he became the same guy he was drunk, just wasn't drinking, right? And I want to just highlight that because when I moved from California to New York, you know, they weren't doing it right on Staten Island and I didn't like it. And I stopped going to meetings and that wasn't good. I didn't drink, but I fell out of being happy, joyous, and free. I still think it's really dangerous. I think I need all three sides of the triangle to really be in.
I've been fortunate that I've always had an enthusiasm for meeting attendance. I just love attending meetings. However, I do recognize that everything I needed to hear on how to stay sober, I heard in the first 30 days. I haven't heard anything new since then. But I keep coming to meetings because I have a great forgetter. And I have to come back to meetings to be reminded of those things day after day after day. And I also learn how to fine tune my program by listening to other alcoholics. I can't do that at home. I can't stay sober at home surrounded by big books and grapevines and other pieces of literature. I need to be in the community of alcoholics and share their experience with me and mine with them.
Todd, thanks for being here today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
John, thanks for continuing to produce the Grapevine magazine for all of us.
Thank you, John.
Hey, Don, what are you playing with on your phone? We're supposed to be recording a podcast here.
Oh, sorry, Sam. I was just checking my spiritual fitness in the new Grapevine app.
Oh, the daily spiritual maintenance checklist? Well, are you fit?
Yep, says so here. And look, there's a daily quote and a sobriety calculator.
And you can read the latest issue and all of the past issues all the way back to 1944.
And you can have the app read the magazine to you out loud as a playlist. It's the monthly magazine in print and audio.
Right in your pocket. The Grapevine and Lavinia apps are now available for both iOS and Android phones. To get yours, go to the App Store on your phone.
Why are all these empty beer bottles in the fridge?
Oh, those are for my friends who don't drink.
It's really not that funny.
Thanks for joining us. The AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour is posted every Monday and is produced by AA Grapevine, Inc. We don't speak for AA as a whole. We share the experience, strength, and hope of members to help others recover from alcoholism. Podcast info, including how to call in, is at aagrapevine.org/podcast. Search AA Grapevine in the App Store on your phone or find AA Grapevine on Instagram and YouTube. All things Grapevine are available at aagrapevine.org. If you want to know more about AA, search online for Alcoholics Anonymous in your city or visit aa.org.
That was freaking amazing.